Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Welcome in. First senior moments of the new year, but not a new season. Jaguars enter the playoffs for the first time since 2007. Host a playoff game, as you know, for the first time in 18 years. And you can feel it. It's a palpable sense of excitement around Jacksonville. It's fun to see.
I'm going to correct you. I think it is a new season. Because it's absolutely the season restarts. Nothing, you know, all the players said it this week. Nothing that matters, nothing that happened before matters. And there is a reset button. And as we've talked about, Brian, the reset button to me starts, it starts in the preparation, but emotionally, perception wise, it starts when that ball is kicked off on Sunday and there's 69,000 screaming fans. And whatever happens in those first three or four series, you know that sets the tone, and that's when after the first quarter of that game you're thinking, boy, this team had momentum, or this team. I've seen it happen a million times where teams go in a couple of losses, it feels listless, boy, make a big play, get a couple of stops, and all of a sudden you're feeling good. It starts now.
Two things on that. If I can go back to last season, which was last Sunday, then following your definition,
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Right? No one in the locker room seemed worried about it at all. No. There were a couple guys, the top competitors in the room. You know, guys like Anik Ngakoue, who's never played in a playoff game,
right,
who was a little pissed off about it.
They were ticked, but not worried.
No,
if that makes any sense.
And they were ticked because the Titans were yapping as they went off the field, and it didn't feel good to lose twice to a team, you know, that didn't win the division.
It was more of a, I wish that hadn't happened. But here we go.
But they moved on because Calais was talking to them afterwards and said, look, for all this matters, the regular season was the preseason. Now, we don't even think about the last game. We go forward from here. The second point is the Jaguars had momentum in terms of wins going into the playoffs when we went to Buffalo in 96.
Mm-hmm.
But they were getting their butt kicked early on in that ball game.
Right. I mean,
four Hall of Famers were doing it to them. The Jaguars were down 7-0. And their first three offensive series, mm-hmm, and people forget, Mark Brunell was the NFL's leading passer that year. Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell, with Willie Jackson and Pete Mitchell, had the look of one of the better young passing offenses of football, and they did nothing.
Right.
Nothing. It was cold. It was loud. Jim Kelly and the K-Gun was working, and it felt like the Jags were going to be blown off the field. Like, all those wins were nice, but that was the regular season. Welcome to the postseason.
I can remember sitting in the press box, you know, because the Buffalo press box, even then, it's the same press box. It was cold, gray. There's this tiny little TV above me.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been black and white. It probably wasn't, but it feels like
the
it was
one in the radio
white
booth was black
yeah,
and white.
So
I can tell you that for sure.
And that game fell over.
Yeah.
And it felt like
all the momentum of the regular season was gone in an instant.
Yeah. And I was even thinking at the time that, you know, they had won five games at the end, but I still go back to, you know, not to live in the past too much, but they had played bad against Atlanta,
yeah,
and basically got in because of sort of a fluky miss was the storyline at the time. That was going to be the storyline. They got in. They suck in because of a field goal. Nice little story, and now it's over. And then, as I think you were getting to,
Clyde Simmons reached his big paw out,
right,
stole the ball from Jim Kelly, took it to the end zone.
And for the next seven quarters, really into the championship game, this looked like a team that was good.
Right.
Well, that's how quickly it changes.
That's the point I was trying to make, is that they will make their own momentum.
Right.
And they will make it on Sunday against the Bills.
And they're a good enough defense. I just keep looking at this, and, you know, maybe I'm too experienced in terms of having seen so many scenarios at the end of the season to feel what a lot of the fans are feeling, meaning, oh, my goodness, we lost two straight. And, you know, you always hear the ad, well, you don't want to lose a couple going to the playoffs. I think it depends on how you lose going into the playoffs. If you lose a couple that you have to win and somebody else wins for you and you quote-unquote back in, then I don't think it's good because it shows that you weren't playing winning football when it mattered. Jaguars didn't back in. They won 7 of 8 games, got themselves in a position where going to San Francisco, A, you were in the playoffs. B, you pretty much figured that a multitude of things had to happen for you not to win the division. A quarter into it, that one thing happens and you're clinched.
Half a quarter into it.
And your seeding's basically a clinch because you know deep down you're probably not going to catch New England or Pittsburgh. Even if there's a chance, it's probably, long story short, I don't think they had the internal urgency. They had want to. They played hard, but there's something about urgency in the NFL. Here's the other thing. Teams out of 50 Super Bowl champions, 10, 11, 12 have lost their last game.
Yeah.
Saints in 2009 lost their last three. Same year I covered the Colts, they lost their last two, got there. There's no formula for what you have to do in the last 2 weeks in terms of to play well in the playoffs. It starts now.
Well, let me echo what you just said, because as folks know, I'm on the sidelines during the game. They found out midway through the first quarter they had flown
in
San Francisco,
Clara, right?
They're all the way across the country, Christmas Eve. They have clinched the playoffs the week before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they clinched the playoff berth, done. They clinched the division title, done. And they weren't happy that they weren't playing well, because no one really played well that day. But my sentiment, you're right on. Then on Sunday, no matter what anyone says, in the second half of that game, there were guys crowded around the heaters like they weren't in Cleveland, like I really hadn't seen in Jaguars players. And all they're thinking about is, let's get playoffs, 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 playoffs. I don't believe that the internal motivation, as you termed it.
It'd be nice to win.
It's a nice story if you do,
right.
But it's about getting to this week.
And the history of the league, you know, not to get too far into it, but the history of the league showed the outlier would have been to win that game
right.
on the road in those conditions. But anyway, playoffs this weekend.
Right. And so allow me to drone for just a moment. There's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of ties with the Bills. I mean, Doug Marrone obviously was their coach. Perry Fuel was there 3 years and was their interim coach at one point. Marcel Darius obviously came from there. Dave Caldwell grew up there. Both teams breaking long playoff droughts. Both teams with quarterback situations where you wonder, you know, where it's going mm-hmm. in the future. I mean, we can go on and on and on. But the Jaguars and the Bills are not similar teams
no.
in the way that I look at it. Even though, you know, the other one is a new general manager and new coach in Buffalo, new football boss and new coach in Jacksonville, right?
They're definitely two teams that, from a national perspective, have come out of the wilderness.
Circumstantial, though, because when you look at the two rosters, when you look at this defense, the Bills are a team that got into the playoffs. They beat the Dolphins twice in the last 3 weeks.
And
the Colts in the snow, right? They took advantage. They had some really bad losses this year. They traded away a lot of players this
right.
year trying to build their brand of football. I don't want to say they're lucky to get here, but they kind of are lucky that a Bengals team beat a Ravens team that had to win. Then that's a rarity.
Right.
On 4th-and-12 with a 40-yard touchdown. I mean, all that comes in. But when I look at the Jags and I look at the Bills, they're not the same to me.
The Bills hoped in November to have enough things break right to get in probably a year ahead of where their internal clock said they should be.
Right.
And that's great. Good for them. But they're a little bit this weekend playing with house money, if you will. I mean,
it's all house money, if you want my opinion.
Yeah. So if they win, it'd be an upset. The Jaguars, as you indicate, they were in 2 weeks in. With 2 weeks left, they are the third seed. They were a team that 2 weeks ago, before I think the last couple weeks of the regular season for the Jaguars would have gone differently had the Steelers-Patriots game gone differently. I think that was the game that set up these last 2 weeks to be very anticlimactic. I think they would have played different. I think it would have been a different deal. Motivation would have been different. The whole ball of wax. But remember, this is the team that for 14 games this season was a dropped pass in New York from being the one seed with 14 weeks in.
Right.
I think once that cheering starts on Sunday, once they're out there, I think they start looking like that team again. And I believe they're going to Pittsburgh next week with the storyline being, hey, we won here before.
I do too.
I don't think it's going to be easy. Saying all that.
No.
But I think that's how it's going to play out.
Well, I think there's some people who are listening to this who are saying, we haven't been in the playoffs since 2007. You know, six straight years of double-digit losses. We shouldn't act like the favorite. Oh, okay. I've heard that. I've seen some emails to that, you know, that line.
Oh, they're the favorite.
No, they absolutely are.
Right.
And they're a prohibitive favorite in my mind.
Right.
Playing at home with one of the best defenses in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just talking about this year. In recent memory. You talk about the Vikings and you talk about
right.
the Broncos. These Jaguars are right up there with them in the way that they play the game.
Anything can happen in the postseason.
Totally get it. Hey, we live that.
Right.
Buffalo and Denver in 96. Pittsburgh in 2007.
Right.
Right? I mean, we get it.
But if you played this game 20 times, the Jaguars, I think, would win 15. You know, and that's sort of how it is in the playoffs because you're at home, you got the crowd, you've won five straight coming in. You're a defense that can control things, that can disrupt things. So the outliers, if McCoy somehow pulls off a miracle and plays healthy, as we saw in Buffalo last year, he can break things and he can be an outlier in terms of you can play well the whole game and he can hit two runs on you and all of a sudden you're down. It's scary. Tyrod Taylor, same sort of thing. But my feeling is this. The Bills' defense thrives on turnovers. They're 25th and down on offense and defense. They stay in games, win games by scrapping, clawing, fighting, getting a turnover. If you play smart, if you win the turnover battle, you win the game this week.
Here's the other thing. They only had 16 turnovers from their offense this year. That's it. That's not a lot of turnovers.
Right, the Bills.
Won a game. Right. So if you don't turn it over, which is where you were going, but if you can get a turnover from them, well, you put yourself in a great situation.
And that's what, to me, will keep the game from being one of these runaway games the Jaguars have played. The Bills' MO this year, with a couple of exceptions at midseason, was not to play dumb. They didn't let teams get away from, et cetera, et cetera. I think a huge thing, everybody's talking about the run game for the Jaguars this week, a huge factor to me is they must make plays in the quote-unquote vertical passing game. For 3 weeks in December, they were good at that. Last 2 weeks, they were not. I don't think this run offense, even against a Bills run defense that's struggling, I don't see this run offense for the Jaguars having the chip in their system right now to be dominant. I just haven't seen it, except for a couple times this year. I don't expect to return for the playoffs. They've got to hit some big plays in the passing game. That's why they started functioning so well for 3 weeks in December.
And I'll disagree with you slightly. I think that this week they can get it done in the run game because I go back to the first quarter of the game we played in Buffalo last year, if you recall. Mm-hmm. Chris Ivory was pummeling this defense with Marcell Dareus. Had 44 yards in the first quarter before the hamstring. I get what you're saying, mm-hmm. that they need to hit the passing game, but I think that with Fournette and Ivory and T.J. Yeldon, if the Jaguars can get a lead, get some takeaways, that they will be able to pound the ball.
Oh, I think they can get a lead, yes.
Yeah, and then
but they just
the
haven't
ball.
Been able to establish the run to get their own lead. So something's got to
happen. I
think this
may be the only game in the playoffs they can do that.
Yeah, it's again, I think it's going to be tricky to get a turnover from them and change momentum. I think it's going to be tricky to run over them. I think they need to hit passing plays early and then run it out after that.
If McCoy doesn't play, the game gets dramatically easier.
Yeah, because then if McCoy doesn't play, then you've got to worry about runs up the middle against this team because they can't hit you like that. And they have to figure out a way to keep Tyrod Taylor in the pocket. That's a concern. I've gotten some emails this week, Brian, about, well, Tyrod Taylor plays just like Marcus Mariota, and Marcus Mariota really hurt him last week. Mariota hurt him once, and I get that it was a killing play. He rushed for 60 yards on six carries, and it had a big play at the end. They didn't lose that game because of Marcus Mariota's mobility.
No.
They lost that game because they couldn't function enough on offense to get away from a team that they should have gotten away from.
Bingo. All right. Well, we'll find out about Allen Hurns, who obviously will play this week. Marquise Lee is a big storyline this week. The rookie receivers, they're going to have to make plays like they did here in December.
And as you know, Brian, 18 years since you've had a game out here for the playoffs.
It's going to be crazy.
If they play their game and play smart and can hit a couple of big plays in what shouldn't be inclement weather, then I think all of a sudden this crowd turns into a frenzy and it'll be fun. Sure. That's what I think will happen unless something that's an outlier happens.
All right. Well, we've seen those before live and in person, so that'll do it for Senior Moments. Thank you.
All right, Brian.
Senior writer John Osher, Joe Fortunato somewhere roaming the vast caverns of the studio. We appreciate his effort, and we'll talk to you next week here on the Senior Moments podcast.